Tonight, God's Word comes to us from the Old Testament book of 1 Samuel, 1 Samuel 25. First Samuel 25, we will be reading all of the verses of this chapter. Beginning at verse 1, what we hear now is God's word. Now Samuel died, and all Israel assembled and mourned for him, and they buried him in his house at Ramah. Then David rose and went down to the wilderness of Paran. And there was a man in Maon whose business was in Carmel. The man was very rich. He had 3,000 sheep and 1,000 goats. He was shearing his sheep in Carmel. Now the name of the man was Nabal, and the name of his wife Abigail. The woman was discerning and beautiful, but the man was harsh and behaved badly. He was a Calebite. David heard in the wilderness that Nabal was shearing his sheep. So David sent 10 young men, and David said to the young men, "Go up to Carmel and to Nabal, and greet him in my name, and thus you shall greet him. Peace be to you, and peace be to your house, and peace be to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm. And they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel. Ask your young men, and they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give us whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, "Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse? There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who come from I do not know from where?" So David's young men turned away and came back and told him all this. And David said to his men, "Every man strap on his sword." And every man of them strapped on his sword. David also strapped on his sword. And about 400 men went up after David, while 200 remained with the baggage. But one of the young men told Abigail, Nabal's wife, "Behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm, and we did not miss anything when we were in the fields, as long as we went out with them. They were a wall to us, both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now, therefore, know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, for he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him." Then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said to her young men, "Go on before me. Behold, I come after you." But she did not tell her husband Nabal. And as she rode on the donkey and came down under the cover of the mountain, behold, David and his men came down toward her, and she met them. Now David had said, "Surely in vain have I guarded all that this fellow has in the wilderness, so that nothing was missed of all that belonged to him, and he has returned me evil for good. God do so to the enemies of David, and also more, if by morning I leave so much as 1 male of all who belong to him." When Abigail saw David, she hurried and got down from the donkey and fell before David on her face and bowed to the ground. She fell at his feet and said, "On me alone, my Lord, be the guilt. Please let your servant speak in your ears and hear the words of your servant. Let not my Lord regard this worthless fellow, Nabal, for as his name is, so is he. Nabal is his name, and folly is with him. But I, your servant, did not see the young men of my Lord whom you sent. Now then, my Lord, as the Lord lives, and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving with your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my Lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my Lord be given to the young men who follow my Lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant. For the Lord will certainly make my Lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. If men rise up to pursue you and to seek your life, the life of my Lord shall be bound in the bundle of the living in the care of the Lord your God. And the lives of your enemies he shall sling out as from the hollow of a sling. And when the Lord has done to my Lord according to all the good that he has spoken concerning you and has appointed you prince over Israel, my Lord will have no cause of grief or pangs of conscience for having shed blood without cause, or for my Lord working salvation himself. And when the Lord has dealt well with my Lord, then remember your servant." And David said to Abigail, "Blessed be the Lord, the God of Israel, who sent you this day to meet me. Blessed be your discretion, and blessed be you, who have kept me this day from blood guilt and from working salvation with my own hand. For as surely as the Lord, the God of Israel, lives, who has restrained me from hurting you, unless you had hurried and come to meet me, truly by morning, there had been not left to Nabal so much as one male." Then David received from her hand what she had brought him. And he said to her, "Go up in peace to your house. See, I have obeyed your voice and have granted your petition." And Abigail came to Nabal. And behold, he was holding a feast in his house, like a feast of a king. And Nabal's heart was merry within him, for he was very drunk. So she told him nothing at all until the morning light. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things. And his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. And about 10 days later, the Lord struck Nabal, and he died. When David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord, who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal, and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. When the servants of David came to Abigail at Carmel, they said to her, "David has sent us to you to take you to him as his wife. And she rose and bowed with her face to the ground and said, "Behold, your maidservant is a servant to wash the feet of the servants of my Lord." And Abigail hurried and rose and mounted a donkey, and her 5 young women attended her. She followed the messengers of David and became his wife. And David also took Ahinoam of Jezreel, and both of them became his wives. Saul had given Michal, his daughter, David's wife, to Palti, son of Laish, who was of Galim. Here we end the reading of God's holy word. Well, tonight, in this Old Testament story, we have a depiction for us of folly and of wisdom. Folly and wisdom personified in Nabal and Abigail. These two ways set before us, the way of the fool or the way of the wise? Now, children, we're going to talk about folly this evening. And when the Bible uses the word folly, it does so a little differently than we do. Maybe if your brother or sister is doing something silly, your mom or dad might say, "Don't be a fool like that." That's not how the Bible uses the word fool or folly. As we just sang, the fool says in his heart, "There is no God." The contrast between folly and wisdom is the contrast between unbelief and belief. It is the contrast between death and life. And we'll see that played out in this text tonight. In the life of David, where are we? David has been told already that he would be king of his people. But at this time, Saul is still the king. And Saul is, in fact, chasing after David. So David finds himself in need of food. And that sets up this encounter with Nabal. Nabal, who is the fool. In fact, Nabal means fool. That is his name. That's why in the text in verse 25, she says, "For as his name is, so is he." Nabal, folly is his name. He's described to us as a man who is harsh, who is badly behaved. We're going to see tonight in Nabal the arrogance of the fool. And the call to us this evening, to reject the way of folly, to reject the way of the fool, and to seek after the path of wisdom. David makes a request of Nabal. He sends some of his men ahead because it's shearing time. A shearing time was not only the time that they sheared the sheep. It was a time of feasting. It was a time of celebration. And so David, knowing this is going on, we read in verse 5, "So David sent 10 young men. And David said to the young men, 'Go up to Carmel and go to Nabal and greet him in my name. And thus you shall greet him, peace be to you and peace to your house and peace to all that you have. I hear that you have shearers. Now your shepherds have been with us, and we did them no harm, and they missed nothing all the time they were in Carmel.'" Reminding him of the relationship of David, his graciousness to their shepherds. "Ask your young men, they will tell you. Therefore, let my young men find favor in your eyes, for we come on a feast day. Please give us whatever you have at hand to your servants and to your son David." It is not an unreasonable request. They had this huge feast going on. There was a relationship between the shepherds. David's shepherds had kept Nabal's shepherds safe. They didn't lose anything the whole time they were together. And so David says, "Well, now, you know, we cared for you. Now we ask you to care for us." How does Nabal, the fool, respond? Verse 9. "When David's young men came, they said all this to Nabal in the name of David, and then they waited. And Nabal answered David's servants, 'Who is David? Who is this son of Jesse?'" Now, kids, Nabal knew who David was. He's not asking who this is. What he's saying is, who does he think he is? Who does this man think he is that he might come and join with my people? He adds insult to injury by saying, "There are many servants these days who are breaking away from their masters. Shall I take my bread and my water and my meat that I have killed for my shearers and give it to men who have come from I do not know where? Who do you think you are that you would make such a request of me?" The fool answers in arrogance. The fool fails to hear the request of David, who is God's anointed. David, who will be king over God's people. David, God's chosen. The fool refuses to hear the word of God's anointed. And the same still happens today. Jesus Christ, God's anointed, comes and announces himself through the declaration of the gospel. The fool says, there is no God. The fool answers in arrogance. Who does he think he is? I want nothing to do with him, and arrogantly rejects the word of God's anointed. That happens not only outside the church, but also inside the church. When God comes to us, asking us for our allegiance, asking us for our devotion, we can become irritated with our obligations to Him. Who are you to ask for the first fruits of my wealth? I made the money, I will keep the money. Who are you to ask for the best of my time? I'll spend my time how I want. Who are you to say that on the Lord's day I should set aside my regular labors, not only for an hour in the morning, not overtly for an hour in the evening, but keep the entire day holy unto you? Who are you to ask this of me? The fool rejects the call of God. In his arrogance, he thinks he knows better. That is the arrogance of folly. When God comes in his anointed Son, Jesus Christ, the fool chooses to go his own way. In contrast to that, in contrast to Nabal, we have Abigail. Abigail, described to us in verse 3, this woman was discerning and beautiful. Abigail, a picture of wisdom. Verse 14, when one of the young men told Abigail, behold, David sent messengers out of the wilderness to greet our master, and he railed at them. Yet the men were very good to us, and we suffered no harm. We did not miss anything when we were with them in the fields, as long as we went out with them. They were a wall to us both by night and by day, all the while we were with them keeping the sheep. Now therefore know this and consider what you should do, for harm is determined against our master and against all his house, for he is such a worthless man that one cannot speak to him. He recognized David is going to come in vengeance. Vengeance not only on Nabal, but vengeance on all in his household. Abigail is told. How does wisdom respond? Abigail hears what she is told, and Abigail acts. She begins to make a decision and do things. Verse 18, then Abigail made haste and took 200 loaves and 2 skins of wine and 5 sheep already prepared and 5 seahs of parched grain and 100 clusters of raisins and 200 cakes of figs and laid them on donkeys. And she said, go bring these away. Bring these to David. The first thing she does is answer his request. He had asked that they might share in the food, and that's exactly what she does. She gives him the food and then goes on to actually go to David, bow down before David, and meet with him and talk with him. She goes to plead for her life and for the life of the household. But notice on what basis she makes that plea. She's described as discerning and beautiful, but she doesn't go to David and say, look, I'm asking this because of who I am. She pleads on the promises that God has made. She knows David will be king one day. Verse 26, Now then, my lord, as the Lord lives and as your soul lives, because the Lord has restrained you from blood guilt and from saving your own hand, now then let your enemies and those who seek to do evil to my lord be as Nabal. And now let this present that your servant has brought to my lord be given to the young men who follow my lord. Please forgive the trespass of your servant, for the Lord will certainly make my lord a sure house, because my Lord is fighting the battles of the Lord, and evil shall not be found in you so long as you live. She knows God has made promises to David. She knows that David, by his own rash actions, may not mar those promises, that he have blood on his hands. And so she comes in wisdom and pleads the promises of God. Do this not because of who I am, not even because of who you are, but because of God's word to you. She pleads upon God's promises. That's what wisdom does. That's what wisdom still does today. It pleads upon the promises of God. When we recognize our sin, when we recognize our fallenness, when we know we stand under God's condemnation and He will come to judge His people, we plead not on who we are. We plead not on our wealth, our intelligence, our skills, anything about ourselves. But rather, we plead on God's word. Lord God, you have promised that when we turn to you in repentance, you will forgive your people. We plead upon God's promise. Recognizing our sin, recognizing our weakness, recognizing we have nothing to offer. Remember, O God, your servant, for your sake, for the sake of your word, for the sake of your honor. God will continue to be faithful to his word. God will continue to save each and every one of his chosen who call out to him, and he will lead them, and he will guide them, and he will direct them. The fool speaks in arrogance. The wise speaks based upon God's word. And the end of the two could not be more striking. Abigail goes back, and Nabal is holding a feast and is getting drunk, so she knows that this is not the time to go and talk with him. She waits until morning, verse 37. In the morning, when the wine had gone out of Nabal, his wife told him these things, and his heart died within him, and he became as a stone. His heart died within him, very likely a reference to some type of stroke. Because we read it was 10 days later that the Lord struck Nabal and he died. The end of the fool is death. Those who refuse to acknowledge God's anointed, those who persistently and deliberately reject the call of God, the end of the fool is death. Nabal struck by the Lord, and he died. What about the wise? We read in verse 39, when David heard that Nabal was dead, he said, "Blessed be the Lord who has avenged the insult I received at the hand of Nabal and has kept back his servant from wrongdoing. The Lord has returned the evil of Nabal on his own head." Again, David didn't have to get his own hands dirty. God acted in his behalf. Then David sent and spoke to Abigail to take her as his wife. The end of the fool is death. The end of the wise is being brought in to the family of the king. He calls her and he marries her. The end of the wise is being married to God's anointed. And we say, what a beautiful picture of what is described in the New Testament, of the relationship of Jesus Christ, the bridegroom, to his people, his church. He is the husband of the bride. He cares for us. He provides for us. The wise are given not just life, but life with the King. There could not be a more striking difference between the end of the fool and the end of the wise. The fool ends in death. The wise made part of the family of the King. 1 Samuel 25 lays before us a striking contrast. The fool refused to hear God's anointed. The fool refuses to serve. The fool ends up dead. The wise recognizes the word and the promises of God. The wise offers loving service. The wise asks for forgiveness. The wise are included in God's family. Tonight, once again, the call of the gospel goes out. The call to recognize our sin, to recognize our fallenness, to recognize that left to ourselves, there is nothing we can do about it. God calls you tonight to place your faith and hope and trust in His anointed. Put your trust in Jesus Christ and know the life that belongs to all who live in Him. The call of the gospel goes out. Will you respond with arrogance as the fool, or in submission in the way of the wise? Let's join together in prayer. Lord our God, we thank you, we praise you for the beauty of your holy word. We thank you for these Old Testament stories that are much more than just a recounting of the history of your ways with Israel. They are a picture for us of your way with us because of your Son, Jesus Christ. Lord God, when we find ourselves answering with the arrogance of the fool, forgive us. Take us off that path of folly and place us once again back on the path of wisdom. Give us, O God, a greater desire to follow after your ways, to trust in your word, to know the forgiveness that you promise in Jesus Christ, not because of anything in us, but that you might bring glory unto yourself. Lord God, we praise you for who you are and leading us in the way of wisdom. Hear our prayer for Jesus' sake. Amen.